Will you join me in prayer? Creator God, we do give you thanks for this and each new day, for sunlight and shadow, for the change of seasons in nature and in ourselves. And now come, breath of life, breath of God, breath of deepest yearning. Holy Spirit, bless our time together this morning. Come, comforter, disturber, interpreter, inspiration. Holy Spirit, quicken our worship, giving it new and meaningful life. Come, heavenly friend, lamplighter, revealer of truth, midwife of change. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds, we pray, to fresh understandings of these passages from our sacred text. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, starting at verse 13, and I'll be reading from the Message. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavor in this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as a city on a hill. If I make you a light bearer, you don't think I'm going to let you hide it under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Open your homes. Be generous with your lives. Be open to others. And you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Our second reading this morning is from the letter to the church at Corinth. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. And again, this is from the Message. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God.
It is a joy and honor for me to give the message today. My wife and I have lived in Huntington for 2 years. Our friends, Joe and Terry Crable, told us about the Stone Church. We have been inspired by this faith community, by meaningful worship here, by your spirit of warm fellowship, by your active commitment to mission and outreach and social justice issues, and by a strong sense of the ministry of the laity, or in Reformation terminology, the priesthood of all believers. And we have also been inspired by Pastor Christy and Annalisa. For a few moments now, I would like to review the worship themes of these past 3 months. September, rooting. October, growing. And November, fruiting. These three words, rooting, growing, and fruiting, have become for me a spiritual mantra these past months. Rooting. Are my roots getting any deeper? Growing? Am I still growing mentally and spiritually? And fruiting? How can I live out discipleship in this time and in this time of my life? Good questions to ask. I want to mention Johnny Appleseed again because he embodies, I think, at least in a small way, the three dimensions of rooting, growing, and fruiting. He planted seeds, the seeds grew, and then fruit was born. A little footnote about me. For 5 years, I served a church in a small village in Ohio named Apple Creek. Yes, Johnny Appleseed walked through there and planted. And so every year in that community, there were Johnny Appleseed days. So this created my interest in him. Now the sermon. The theme is the power of something little. Our world is very conscious of power. And there is a temptation to always equate power with bigness. That which is big, so the thinking often goes, is powerful. We see this bigness in a mass rally, the bigness of a football team, the bigness of military and political and economic power. And sometimes, conversely, there is the temptation to think of the little as being powerless, but not so. There is often great power in something little. The little team that is faster than the big team. The small meeting where only two or three are gathered. An idea formulated by a student in the stacks late at night. A new discovery from analyzing something in a test tube and in a microscope. As we look at the ministry as at the history of our faith, we see that there is great power in that which is little. God chose Israel because she was the least of all nations, and that God's strength was shown through Israel's weakness. God chose the prophet Amos, certainly not a member of the power structure, to confront the people with the word of truth. He spoke truth to power. The incarnation is an example of power in something little and seemingly at first hand insignificant. The birth of Jesus and his ministry of servant leadership baffles conventional wisdom. And Paul said it this way, in the New Revised Standard Version, God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. This certainly is a spiritual paradox. And when we acknowledge our own weakness and powerlessness, God's power can begin to work in and through us. Yes, there is power in something little and seemingly weak. We know that Jesus gave us numerous examples of power in something little. Power in the mustard seed, which can grow into the biggest shrub. Power in leaven or yeast, which is significant in all proportion to its size. Power in the light of a single candle, which dispels the darkness. Power in salt, which has the power to add flavor, to purify, to cure, and preserve to heal. Yes, there is power in one little word of truth, in one little act of kindness, in one person whose life stands for something significant, in one person of conscience with the courage to stand against the crowd, in a small group of people in prayer who launched out in the tiny ship Mayflower in 1620, in a small group in 1708 of 5 men and 3 women, under the leadership of Alexander Mack, who gathered at the Ader a small river that flowed through Schwarzenau, Germany, and performed baptisms as the outward symbol of their new faith, and a Brethren movement was started. Or a group of Williams College students who had a prayer meeting in a haystack or near a haystack in 1806, and thus began the first American Protestant missionary society to other lands. Or Dan West, an Ohio farmer, as we learned last week, who founded the Heifer Project International. There are all kinds of examples. Malala Yousafzai, the young Pakistani girl also mentioned in last Sunday's meditation, advocate for the power of education for girls, who was shot by the Taliban and who received the Nobel Peace Prize at age 17, wrote, and I quote, "Let us remember one book, one pen, one child, and one teacher can change the world," end of quote. And I believe that God is calling each one of us to be that one person who can change the world in small and in even big ways, where we live and move and have our being each and every day. And I hope that you believe that too. God works in mysterious and curious ways, often baffling our conventional wisdom by manifesting power through the little and the seemingly insignificant, and causing great things to happen from humble origins. Halford Luckock, a seminary professor of several generations ago, wrote, quote, No limits can be set to a small group of lives possessed by the Spirit of God, imbued with the idea of the kingdom, dedicated to the person of Christ, end of quote. Yes, there is power in something little. To a group of fishermen and farmers and ordinary people, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." This is indeed an amazing compliment, and it shows that he had great confidence in them. In them, he saw power and potential, things which perhaps they did not see even in themselves. It is difficult to imagine more unlikely candidates to be the salt of the earth. They had no power in the conventional sense. They did not possess wealth. They were not educated. They were not even scrupulously religious in following the legalisms of the day. But Jesus saw great possibility in them. They were to preserve truth and goodness and justice. They were to add zest and flavor to life. They were to preserve society from corruption. Salt. We use it because it flavors food. It cures and preserves and purifies. It is antiseptic. It heals. It works quietly with no fanfare, no fireworks. But it does its job just by being in contact. It adds zest just by its presence. So in like manner, you and I are also to bring some of those qualities into our everyday lives. Flavor, healing, purity, preservation, zest, and a transforming power. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, "You are to life what salt is to food, sharing values which will help us turn the world right side up, if you will. You are the light of the world," is another amazing compliment he gives to his followers. However, we do not produce our own light, but we are to shine with the reflection of the one who is the light of the world. The radiance which shines from us is lit by the presence of Christ within our hearts and minds. We are only bearers of the light, and the glory goes to God. A single candle, we know, can dispel the darkness. One person can make a great difference. And many persons together, radiating the Spirit of Christ, can bring transforming power to our society and world. And we share this light in the way we treat others, colleagues, family members, employees, employers, salespeople, students, the marginalized. And we share this light in the public square and in our discourse and with our priorities. It is easy to become discouraged by the state of things in our world, with darkness ever so present. But we have this sustaining confidence. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This light is the eternal light of God, said Henry Van Dusen, is the ultimate power of the universe. That light no man-made darkness can ever extinguish. Darkness, light, despair, hope, cross, resurrection. We do not lose heart because we are confident in the ultimate power of the universe. Let's never forget God's miracle of showing that there is power in something little. He can use one individual life to bring his redeeming and renewing power to others. Jesus has complimented us and honored us with the titles, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." May we bear these titles and live them gladly and with thanksgiving and humility. These are the underpinnings of our discipleship. And may we give God the glory as we seek to continue the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, together. Amen.